Hey, we're live. Hey, folks, thanks for tuning into the Banff Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty, and we're here to talk about the future of icons. We've assembled a crack panel to do that, starting with to my right in the Brady Bunch grid, Mr. Dan Hauser. How you doing, Dan?
Hey, doing great.
Nice. And next to him is Green Ronin Freelancer, among other credits, Mr. Alexander Thomas. How you doing, Alex?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Good to have you. Thanks for coming back. Glad we didn't scare you off from the Bamseys podcast.
Oh, I had so much fun on the Bamseys podcast.
Oh, cool. Directly below me in the Brady Bunch grid is Alice, a.k.a. Lala. How you doing, Alice?
Hi, everyone. I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me.
All right. And last but not least in the Jan Brady Square is Steve Kenson. How you doing, Steve?
I'm good.
My name is Alice.
Glad to be back.
I guess it is the Alice Square, isn't it?
Yeah, okay. I think so.
Man B. Right. Davis.
And just for fun, I was going to say let's look at the New Mutants trailer because that's coming out like in a week or so. Mm-hmm. And let's give it a shot real fast. Hang on. I think we might. No. All right.
Chances are they hurt someone.
We're going to be every insurance company's worst nightmare.
This is a facility for young mutants like yourself. When the mutants first got their powers, chances are they hurt someone. I know you're scared. You're safe now. I don't think this is a hospital. Yeah.
The New Mutant.
Okay, so what do we think about that?
I'm sorry, but did I just watch a horror movie trailer?
I'm here for it. I'm excited about the horror movie bent. I feel like a lot of superhero stories do great when they lean into another genre, not just superheroes. Like with Captain America, the Winter Soldier, I thought that was awesome.
Sure.
Joker was kind of like that. I'm a fan of Sunspot. Mm. He doesn't turn into flames. So unless that's Rusty Collins, I'm going to be very angry with this movie.
His whole black silhouette thing probably wouldn't look as good on film, though.
True, but it worked in Cloak and Dagger, and if you haven't seen that show, it is a thumbs up for me, because I'm also a fan of Cloak and Dagger. But, man, I think it's Rusty Collins, but that's my personal opinion.
Well, this trailer was definitely lacking in Ileana Rasputin, so I don't know if I can approve.
And in fact, she's like a big part of the MCU right now, right? You know. Or the comics universe.
Yeah.
Right? They're bringing her back.
Well, I mean, there's a whole new Mutants comic, with the latest X-Men relaunch, so which is actually pretty fun. So,
and yes, they did a very good job with the Cloak and Dagger special effects as the show went on. First two episodes, I was like, what are they doing? And then, like, you know, fourth episode on, they started improving, and the special effects really started doing it more justice.
Yeah.
Agreed. Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know, I just watched the first episode of Doom Patrol at the gym this morning, and I was pleasantly surprised by that. I've got no familiarity with the comics, but
Doom Patrol on DC Universe is just like 100 times better than it deserves to be, and I just don't know why it's so good. But
I totally agree.
Earn my really 10 bucks every month.
I was very surprised. Yeah.
Well, I think it's called Harley Quinn. They earned my 10 bucks.
Yeah, I feel like every other department at DC is like, we need to pick up the slack for the movies, guys.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. Oh, well,
kind of true.
Don't get me started on the CW, man. The Crisis on Infinite Earths miniseries, just basically everything on TV has been such a notch above what I've expected out of the movies. Like, Supergirl is the best version of Superman I've seen on television or in a movie in a long, since Christopher Reeve.
Yeah.
Like, she is Superman. That's Superman for me now. That's like, you know, she acts like Superman acts. The actress's instincts, the scriptwriter's instincts are perfect for her. And their Superman is almost as good, in my opinion, almost as good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the spin-off series of that.
Yeah,
me too.
Oh, yeah, and yeah, absolutely. I'm there for that as well.
I've had a bit of a problem with the Supergirl TV show, to be honest, because they very much kept slamming into the fact that she's not Superman, and they kept like putting her in the shadows, and then they went with, and then they kept changing directions so many times, and then they went with like 1.5 seasons where it was so ultra feminist that the most feminist people that I know would balk at it.
They would go, "Yeah, it's enough already."
Yeah, and that's cool. Already
can ally. We get it. Whoa, awesome.
Yeah, let's just go back to the superhero stories, please, and stop banging that feminist drum, because.
It can be off-putting, I guess.
I have very mixed feelings about Supergirl. I will tell you that, like, I'm behind on it, and at one point I basically just said, Brandon, can we please stop watching it right now, because I cannot stand it. And the problem is until we catch up on that, we're not he won't allow us to catch up on the other shows. So I have to get myself to a point where I'm going to be willing to stomach that horrible feminist stuff.
I never thought Alice would be the person crying feminism on this podcast, but there you go.
Life's little Batman bro over here. He's
life's
so icons. We're here to talk about icons.
Right.
All right. Icons. Icons is a fun rules light superhero RPG that Steve has been publishing now for coming up on a decade.
I know, right? Crazy.
Wow. And as Dan was showing us before the show, it is now available to those of the European Union who are fond of the French language. Is that correct?
Yes, indeed.
Yep, sorry, UK. You guys miss out.
Yeah, it's too bad the American version isn't written in English.
The quality is beautiful. It's better than what you get
listen,
through
American. There's a style guide now, so all my stuff's going to be great.
So, hey, yay for French. They can play icons. Expect big
things. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Bienvenue. Welcome.
Probably available in Quebec as well, I hope.
Probably.
Yeah, I don't know if the distribution deal gets into Canada as far as that goes.
All I know is when I got the box, Steve, I was like, it's an unmarked box labeled John Doe from France.
Right.
I'm like, ticking? What the hell is this thing? I didn't order anything from France. My wife and I are back and forth like, it's got my name on it, but all right, we'll open it. So we opened it outside. No lie. Dead of winter. I'm opening it out of my picnic table. All right. Oh, it's books. Okay. You never know this day and age. I didn't know where it was from. I didn't know what it was. But then I'm like, wow, what a bunch of great stuff.
Dan gets intense internet arguments. You can't be too careful.
That's fair.
Speaking of intense internet, Icons Rogues, right here on my share screen. What a book. I love this. This is a new villain collection for Icons, and this is great. Can we talk
about
the
first two pages of this book? Steve, I got to say, is my favorite thing I've ever drawn. Just the bar, and then when you open it up, it's like the monster at the end of this book. Oh, and now, because for no reason they're fighting. Well, because you just walked in on them.
See, before?
Yep, they notice you walked in, and they're like, hey, who invited the superhero? And then boom.
It's an awesome piece. Blitz. But Dan, I have a question.
Yes.
Are you concerned about stalkers? Is that why you had to open it outside?
I was more concerned about like a poo level like mailing to me. Like, well, I don't like you from France. Okay? I should know about the French at one point. Like, I could expect it from like California, because I have dogged out George Lucas pretty hard on this podcast. Well, yeah, you don't like it? Well, I sold it to Disney now. Leave me alone. I'm like, okay, sorry, George. You leave me a brown derby in a box. But it was not that. It was the French version of Icons.
Steve, let's talk about this book.
Sure, Mike.
Can we talk about this book? Okay. Tell me about this guy, the Axiomatics. If I recall correctly, this guy's the story.
So the Axiomatics are based on you know, sort of the kind of back and forth thing that Dan and I do a lot, where I will throw out a particular idea for a thing, and I think they sort of started around the same time we were doing the Gemstar Guardians for A to Z. And Dan included these guys in the background of a picture. And I was like, oh, they're cool. What's their story? And I ended up, you know, basically doing a design for them as sort of one of the bad guys that would be associated with something that was more cosmic and space-based and things like that. And they're basically, you know, sort of law-imposing totalitarian robots. But the thing I liked about the Axiomatics is that they've got this power that basically allows them to kind of put a lock on physics in a particular area that basically says, no, you can't do any of those things anymore that are like weird and violating the laws of physics. that basically allows them to turn off superpowers when they go to arrest people who are, you know, in their opinion, causing chaos. So I think it's a fun element for them as opponents.
That is awesome. Cool.
So they're a bit like Sentinels.
Yeah, they've got a little Sentinels, a little
Manhunter.
You know, that sort of a thing. But yeah, and of course they're robots, so they make great foes because you can punch straight through them and not feel bad.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. You can have them coming at you in droves and just keep punching out and just feel good about it. So we all know that Icons is a game that people usually roll up random characters. How often do you roll up something to start with and then decide to flesh it out, Steve, for your books?
Not all that often, honestly. I do from time to time, but usually when it comes to doing, you know, stuff like the Rogues and Adversaries collections, I just have a notes file on my devices that I keep this long running list of random superhero and supervillain ideas that come to mind. And you know, I'll have a, you know, just a thought, and I'll be like, oh, that'd be a cool name for a character, and I'll just stick it in my list. And eventually the list sort of reaches a critical mass, you know, where, you know, it's time to go back through it, and I'm like, oh, there's a whole bunch of stuff in here. I'm gonna, you know, sort it all out and, you know, see if there's anything good. And, you know, if there's a long enough good list, basically it turns into a book.
That's really cool.
And then I'll throw like drawings going, hey, I have an idea for guys, but write them.
Right. Yes. Yes. And oftentimes, would be the case with something like Rogues or Adversaries, where I'll be like, okay, so Dan, I've got room for like 10 more characters. Draw 10 guys.
And then Slag is one of those things. I was like, hey, Slag, I hear this like Tyrannosaurus guy.
Right. And then I will write who they are.
Yep. I give him a sentence and he goes from there and the magic begins. Obliteroid was because I saw a Krang toy. And I was like, that is so cool. But I'm like, what if I put one of those like industrial grinder things for his head, a little alien guy? And I was like, and then I'll color him like Manny faces from He-Man. I was like, if we ever made an action figure, this would be dangerous. So
okay. I just gotta say that Obliteroid, I think that would give any male shaving nightmares.
Right.
Oh yeah, and that thing is like an industrial crusher. So if you watch one of those incredibly satisfying crush, like stuff getting crushed videos, that's one of those things. And he just throws stuff into his maw and destroys it.
And it's got very, very TMNT vibe with the brain in the middle.
Yeah, that's the idea. Mm-hmm.
Yep, it was the inspiration basically. Touring, this one here is in my most recent module that I'm going to be finishing up. The draft for you, Steve, this weekend. I'll actually have it done shortly.
Cool.
It's 2/3 of the way finished. The art is sketched, and then that will start coming. But the text is hammered fine sweet because of the guide. But yeah, touring is another one of my favorite things that I made up. Mm-hmm. I was like, I wanted something fun and like a Joker style, like a Batman Beyond, Return of the Joker kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh man, just fun. Fun stuff. And sometimes I draw stuff like Dozer.
Right.
That's one of the things that I really like most about Icons is that it does feel like a labor of love from both of you guys. Everything that comes out that I see, I'm like, oh, yeah, you guys definitely like writing this.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I love it.
Passion goes a long way in cooking and in game design. Then again, I think it goes a long way in most things. And, you know, when you have passion, it shows. You can't help it. That's why ingredients always love.
I mean, and this is no like joke. Icons changed my life. I mean, it's how I became a professional illustrator. So I'm I'm down with the cause, man, and I just love it. I love the system. I run it all the time. In fact, I'm at a convention at the beginning of next month. I'm at Milwaukee Gaming Classic, which they're just now introducing tabletop stuff and. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be doing Icons, Orc as well. People ask for Orc, so I'll be doing Orc too. But yeah, I'll be running all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, truth be told. Sorry, go ahead.
No,
Ghosty.
No. Well, I was going to say, you know, truth be told, I wish that I had a bit more time to work on Icon stuff, but things being what they are, Icons is still pretty much me and Dan, and always has been, you know. It tends to be a matter of, you know, Icons projects get done when I have time to work on them, in and around my various other, you know, paying work. When I'm doing stuff for Green Ronin, or I'm doing freelance, or I'm handling my other publishing stuff, it's I get to Icons when I can. I'm glad we're able to put out as much stuff for the game as we can.
Do you find yourself cross inspired when you're doing one project and all of a sudden you're like, I have to go write this for this other thing, and just jumbled everywhere?
Yeah, I have a certain amount of project ADD when it comes to that, you know, but fortunately I'm usually juggling 3 or 4 projects at a time. I will often just, you know, like work one, two, you know, and go to another when I need a break from the one I'm working on. So yeah, there's a certain amount of cross-pollination, but some of it is just being able to take a break and work on something else.
Is that the secret to that? Because I'm, for the first time in my career, I'm actually at, like, I've got 3 projects on the docket and I'm not sure how to tackle them all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do them in shifts myself.
Yeah, my great uncle Henry, he says, if you're going to eat a mountain, you start with a spoonful. And that's what it is. You decide which mountain you're going to eat first. And you just go, okay, I'll get it done. And it really is hard when you lose the that initial spark of, wow, I really want to do this. And you get about halfway through, you're like, oh, yeah, part of this is working.
Sure.
You know, part of this is actually 1 foot in front of the other.
Sure.
Actual, not toil, but definitely effort. And then you're like, oh, man, okay, what else can I do? I'm going to draw something else. But since primarily I love illustrating, it's like I get the illustrating done immediately for these mod. It's like I'm like Steve Ditko. I'm like, yeah, module done. Wait, no, it's not. There's like 30 pages of text here I got to get done.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll even go, hey, Steve, I have a great idea for a module. He goes, that is a great idea. And I'm like, want to do a little rule set for it? Because that's the next one that's coming out. Mm-hmm. And that can delay things too. And I go, hey, want to make up some rules, Steve? I know you love designing stuff. It's kind of like a cheap little, hey, I know you like designing stuff. Then I'm like, well, when will you have time?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, if I had more time, I would write more Icons stuff if I could, but, you know.
But projects, I mean, we've got the 2 adventures coming out.
We do.
And then I'm working on, I think what, I had a suggestion if you want to talk about Icons Instant Action. The idea I had for the GM thing?
We've got a ton of ideas, you know, in the works, you know, that Dan and I have knocked back and forth. In fact, I just started working on another Icons idea to see if it'll go anywhere, you know. But it's another one of those things where, you know, I have to work on it for a bit to see if there's something there. I think
mush the clay.
Yeah, you know, so we'll see as far as that goes. That's the other weird thing about Icons is that it's not, you know, much in the way of a traditional product line, because it's me and Dan, and because it, you know, Icons stuff is either, you know, either electronic or print on demand. It comes out when it's done, you know, as far as that goes. You know, nothing Icons doesn't have a schedule. You know, when we talk about upcoming product and people are like, so when's it coming out? I'm like, when it's done.
Sometime this century.
Sometime when it's done.
People love that answer on the internet.
Yes,
no,
they do.
The answer they hate is 2 weeks. I found that out.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't like that answer.
I think it really says something about how awesome your product is and how much of a fan base you have that people are okay with not being given these these deadlines that are coming out, because, you know, people expect things to come out a certain time these days. That's the way people are trained. And so to keep your following, it shows that the product itself is very strong despite when it's done.
And I'm super glad that, you know, people are excited and are asking, you know, hey, when is another Icons thing coming out? That's great. you know. But yeah, it's one of those, you know, it's done when it's done, as far as that goes. Right. I like
there's
to
two of us,
right? You know, and we both have other jobs.
Right, exactly. I have a 40-hour week like gig that I work overnights, but luckily sometimes it slows down enough, and I have my sketch stuff at work. So the art usually tends to get done first. I can go, okay, I need these six illustrations for the interior and the cover, and then boom. But the most recent one, the next one that's coming out, I'm pretty excited about.
Yeah.
The next adventure. You want to talk about it, Steve?
Yeah. You want to? So we're talking about Dawn of Dekaiju first, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. Yeah, so Dawn of Dekaiju is just, you know, superheroes versus giant monster scenario by way of Dan. And so it has basically all of the great things about giant monster movies in a superhero adventure. You know, without getting into spoilers, pretty much, you know, giant monsters fighting giant monsters, giant robots fighting giant monsters, multiple giant monsters fighting giant monsters, you know, it's got all of that, you know, and, you know, complete rules on how to destroy your campaign city, you know, yep, in the process.
Wait, so you're saying that the superheroes are actually there to stop destruction of the city? I thought that was the opposite of what they normally do when they show mm-hmm. up.
Well, that's the thing, is compared to the giant stomping monsters, the superheroes are actually relatively, you know, safe. But
right,
you know, yeah, but when it comes down to these, you know, characters fighting, you know, there's a whole thing on basically how much is this section of the city destroyed, you know.
Right here,
he's more dangerous, Henry Cavill or Godzilla,
right?
So
that'll be a fun adventure, and Dan has all sorts of great art for it, so
yeah. So can you guys see that?
Yeah, there you
go. We can now.
Okay. All right, hold on, Aaron. Make sure it's on StreamYard. Here we go. Great. Yeah, so that's one of the images from it. Not much of a spoiler, really, but yeah, so at a certain point, you can have your hero transform into a creature and fight another creature. So, yeah.
I don't know if you're allowed to say this, but do you guys have like considerations for stuff like the Power Rangers who turn from little people into big robots?
Zeitgeist here.
We do have a Gestalt robot.
Gestalt, mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a robot. I love Jet Jaguar.
It's not quite a Voltron level robot, but you know, it's still, you know, a multi-pilot robot.
Yes, mm-hmm. It is. I would say a Zord.
Yeah. Yeah.
A Zord, or if you read Batman Superman World's Finest or Batman Superman Public Enemies, you'll have an idea of what we have. Yes, and also yep, Tokyo Kaiju Chaos.
Ooh, Improbable Tales.
Yes.
Indeed.
Courtesy of the second largest, you know, publisher of Icons material.
I know, right?
Who does the mapping in those? Mike, we can't hear you.
Yes.
Oh.
Hopefully he can tell us.
I thought his mic was actually muted, though. I saw
he unmuted, screen. But his mic broke.
Oh.
Yep. We keep going.
He's giving us sign language.
Yes, he's going to say that he's just going to be right back. So, yeah.
Gotcha.
But that looks really cool, too.
Yeah. Yeah. For ours, I do the cartography for our stuff.
Indeed.
I was just about to ask, Dan, if you do cartography for your stuff.
Yeah.
Including the city map and Daikaiju.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's one. But what I most love, and I just got to read the proof copy, which is basically finished, just the rules for making your own Daikaiju to fight, you know? I love it so that everyone can just go, you know what? Tonight, we're setting up a city and we're going to have a fight. Everyone bring your characters and we're going to randomly create our kaiju and have a brawl. So
that's fun.
Since we began, my whole focus, and in fact, when I was working with Mike on Stark City, my focus is always for us to create stuff that a GM will definitely use some part of it. Like, you know, if they just go, you know what, this model's not for me, but I love the bad guys. So I'm going to scrape these out and put them over here and I'll have those. Or if they, you know, like the whole module. That's why when I did Rise of the Phalanx, I did it, you can use each one, or you can use them all together as a single story. That was a bad idea, because making sure everything fits like a puzzle that's also like like an Ouroboros story was not easy.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it again.
Yeah.
I'm starting to learn a little bit about the inner workings of writing modules and being able to, you know, create the whole while making certain things can be taken apart piece by piece. It's it can really rack your brain. So kudos.
Absolutely.
Because I'm going 16 rewrites later. There we go. Internet's back. Hey, everyone. Oh, welcome back.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't even know it was gone.
Yeah, that feat went wonky. What were you saying, Alex?
Oh, I said the red line part is the best part of writing modules.
I'm glad you enjoy red line.
Yeah.
I just like the feeling of just like defeatedness it gives me when I get back a big packet of red ink.
Steve, who gives you your red ink?
Me.
Whatever developer I'm working with, really. Yeah, Dan on Icons.
I basically hand him stuff he can red ink or used to. That is the result.
So you do that to each other for Icons?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, he asked me if I see something wrong with it. It's hard because I'm a fan, so I never do. Mm-hmm. So I make myself look for something. I'm like, damn it, Steve Kenson, was he right wrong? Mr. Semicolon, Steve. Fix it, would you? Mostly, I just forget to send him images for modules. I'm like, oh yeah, here's a whole full page thing. I expected to have it there. And I'm like, where is this? Oh, I never even sent it. Because I'm an idiot.
So tell us about
the picture I showed you is one of those things I forgot to put in the book. And it's kind of important. Kind of an important image for part of the story. And I was like, well, there you go. I forgot that.
So tell us a little bit about that second module that you guys have coming.
Dan's working on it now.
Yes, I'm almost finished with it. It's actually kind of a big announcement. Hello? Is your mic working again? Microphone check? No?
Check.
Oh,
back.
Woo! Hey, we're back.
I'm back.
And we're back.
Welcome back.
So the second module, it should be done by the end of April with all the artwork and everything, is called Polar Vortex. And it's the first in a series of modules called The Fall of the Phalanx. Mm. And it's going to be a collection of modules that you can play either by themselves, not necessarily in any order. I think probably the first three you can play in whatever order you want, if you were going to play them all, if you decide you want to play them all. Because last time I said, oh, you can play them in any order. And I'm like, oh, crap. How does that even happen in a book? And then when Steve put it all together into one book, I was watching with amazement the editing prowess of Steve Kenson. And I felt terrible that I made him do all of that. So I kind of go, you know what? There are tendons and veins not connecting on this body. Let me fix it. And then it took a while to get out, but it's one of the things I'm most proud of that I've done so far. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. What am I going to do this year? And then it all just fell into my head like, oh, well, if you do the big story where they have the big global conflict, what happens in the, you know, gold? We did the Golden Age. What happens in the Silver Age when there's like green goblin grabs one of their girlfriends and he has to make a choice? And, uh-oh, the bad things start happening to their team and they don't know what it is. And also, and I'm like, okay, and then all the story elements came together. So the next module, the other one is called Polar Vortex, and it's about one of the villains from Rise of the Phalanx, Arsenal, was defeated. And he's been trying to bring himself back together, creating armor, and he's failed in creating a good version of the armor to keep his energy form in. So he's contained himself in what's basically a portal to Geist space, which is my little negative zone with the serial number scraped off. And it creates this aura of below freezing temperatures. So he and Tagunsk from the Rogues book are looking to build him a new set of armor. And so they go back to the city, Victory City in that series, but if you're using it, it's whatever city you want, and attack the hero's base to steal from their trophy room a reactor that will help him create his new armor. And they've also got Cassie Kelvin, who is a former hero, a short time sidekick of Arctic Fire, who has she's a gadgeteer, but she can also create little imps of ice. But she's apparently helping them do this, and the heroes don't know why. By the end of the adventure, you get a little bit of the thread of Fall of Phalanx, and you have a great little throwback to last series of adventures.
Awesome.
Sounds exciting.
Looking I hope so. I hope everyone will like it.
That's the idea.
When is all that coming out?
When it's done.
Dan's claiming April. We didn't say if it's April this year or April next year.
April. I have all the art sketched, and when that happens, it's generally pretty fast. I used to do it art first and then finish everything after the synopsis. This time, Steve and I have been working on an internal process to make that stuff go easier for both of us. Mm-hmm. So the manuscript, when it's finished, will be almost like ready to go right into layout. So it won't have a lot of like editing needed. It'll be formatted and ready to just pop into InDesign, and then I'll just throw artwork and then we'll go. So
sometime in 2020, we're going to see that.
Yeah. It'll definitely be this year.
I would say before summer, probably, like I said, by the end of next month.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Steve, with the amount that you have to say when it's done or sometime, I'm really surprised you haven't gone and made yourself a bot for it yet. Click the button. Bot will go tell them.
Cards that purportedly Stan Lee used to hand out just said, "You're welcome, Stan Lee." Yeah. They started saying, "No, I know. I know. I created Spider-Man. Here you go.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Cards
of when it's done."
when it's done.
Well, Steve's got a lot of those like sayings he's got to put on repeat and on timers. Like, when are we getting Mass Effect from Green Ronin instead of just Dragon Age?
We actually have a company timer in the company Slack that actually has, you know, X number of days since someone has asked us about publishing Mass Effect.
So has anyone asked about the orc?
We reset it periodically, you know, because it always comes up. You know, when are you guys going to do Mass Effect? Never.
Well, when that timer resets, does somebody have to throw a couch against the wall?
You know, no, fortunately, you know.
So what is Mass Effect? Tell me all about that.
Mike,
I'm into it. I'm down with that. If that's actually a thing that's coming out,
I'm going to acknowledge this guy Eldritch Word in the comments. He's a funny fella. Okay, and Steve, I know the answer is I can no comment, but he's saying Mastermind's fourth ed, and he followed it up 1 second later with the saying when it's done.
If there were ever a fourth edition of Mutants and Masterminds, whenever it gets done.
You mean to like make it sort of flow into a fifth edition D&D, like, you know, because of how a D20 means Masterminds, and then
that would also be the question of what the, you know, design goals would be for a fourth edition of Mutants and Masterminds.
You got Steve thinking, and of course now.
But I will note that that decision is not up to me.
That is some next level obfuscation there, sir.
That is entirely up to Crystal Frazier, who is the developer for Mutants and Masterminds, and the management of Green Ronin. So if they should decide that there needs to be a new edition of Mutants and Masterminds and they would like me to work on it, I would be glad to, but that is their call, not mine.
You know, I was being facetious earlier about Icon's being around for 10 years, but then I looked at the date on Hero Pack 1 and that was 2011. Yep. And that was after the release of the original version of, so I think 2020 might be the 10th year
I'm
anniversary.
Pretty sure this is actually the 10th anniversary. I think it came out in 2010.
The Adamant Entertainment Edition.
This
will be burned if you find it. So if you see any of the art in there, just go ahead and scrub your eyeballs and throw that in the trash. But the new one's great. So the old one, hot garbage.
You guys hey, that's a collector's item.
Yeah, trash collect everywhere. Would you please?
So how are we celebrating 10 years of Icons? We're gonna have Swaharo plushies. Is there gonna be an ice show?
T-shirts.
Sadly, because I'm terrible at keeping track of those things, and I did not even realize that it was the 10th anniversary of Icons until relatively recently. I don't really have any plans other than continuing to publish Icons things.
Sounds like a good plan, though.
You know, yeah, I mean,
and Mike?
There's a secret thing that I'm doing that I'll tell you now.
It's not a secret.
It's not a secret.
No, I can tell you because it's just stuff I'm doing on my own as kind of a surprise, and that since it does fall on the 10-year anniversary, I'm updating all the art for the hero packs and basically updating them. Stat blocks and stuff I'm not updating, but all the art. So I've got everything from Hero Pack 1 all the way through Well, I'd probably say just the one that I did in the Jack Kirby style. So that'd be Hero Pack 3, I think. Mm-hmm. So all of those are, the sketches are done. So if you submitted art for those, look for it. I'm going to update it and we'll reformat it to look like it does in the books. And then, yeah, that's my point. My hope was to update everything to look like it does and get the characters kind of squared away for Assembled Edition as kind of a, hey, thanks for guys for being fans. I'm still working on it. It's kind of a labor of love kind mm-hmm. of thing. So it's when I do it and it'll be done when it's done.
It's done. Yes.
But it is being done. And I'll probably share sketches and such over at the Icons Facebook group. Just showing everyone, hey, remember these guys? Spider Fridge was one of the first things I drew because, yeah, it's one of the funnest things.
You know, I'm trying to put together a superhero anthology for later this year. You should do a Super Fridge story. It could just even be, like a teeny 300-word microfiction because it's Super Fridge. It would still, or Spider Fridge, sorry.
Spider Fridge,
yeah. My guess is that it would fit in like a noir setting or like a noir hero pack. So if I decide to do another hero pack, which I might, they're kind of masochistic on myself because it's a lot of work and I do it for as low a price I can for everybody so they can get in. And if they want the private version, they get the one that has everything in it. And everyone's like, hey, you can keep stuff in the commercial version. The commercial versions tend to be smaller so we can sell them again. So, they tend to get pretty big on the private side. So it's like, hey, everyone wants one. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to overpromise. So I want to do one. I really do. But I won't make an announcement on anything like that for a while. But yes, there we go. And that image was supposed to be, that image is found actually in Team Up, which came out just before Assembled.
Just before Assembled Edition.
Did Team Up come out?
I think Team Up came up after.
Yes, and I don't know about
after Assembled Edition,
but it might.
Anyway, in that vicinity.
Yes, in the vicinity, around the same time. I liked a lot of the art in there, and that's the last version of the Brave and the Bold style, cartoony Justice League Unlimited style artwork. So there's the shrinking fella captured by Spider Fridge, who actually can't operate if someone's looking at them. So it's really funny that apparently Sigmar was like, yeah, we did it. And apparently they did.
He's kind of like a quirky weeping angel of a superhero.
You know, when I saw Weeping Angel, like, that's like Spider Fridge.
Every time I see that scientist art online from your work, all I can think about is Dr. Horrible Sing Along blog and Patrick Neil Harris.
I thought his hair could be better. And why was he wearing purple pants? He's a villain.
Right.
So yeah, that was the only things I had to change. Also, he has those microscope specs. Uh-huh. So he can actually view the people he's manipulating into tininess.
So it is inspired by that character. Cool.
Well, it's a doctor. And yeah. Doctor goggles, gloves.
The mad scientist look is kind of universal.
Yeah,
very true.
I just like that. Be honest, the coat. Anytime I see that coat, it reminds me of the fellow from Bride of Frankenstein. What's his name? Not Frankenstein, but the other guy. The blonde guy. He's the blonde doctor who's like trying to recreate all of Frankenstein's work. He's also in the Hammer films occasionally. I can't remember his name. He's Doctor something else.
Yeah.
Gene Wilder?
No.
That's Frankenstein. I just can't remember his name now. I'm not going to try to. It will burn my brain out. And that's the end of my show. No.
Right.
So other than the two modules, what other supplements are coming?
Well, that's the stuff that is definitely planned at the moment. There's a bunch of other things that are on kind of the, hey, this is an idea list that are being worked on in various ways. But they're not at the point where I'm sure that they're definitely happening. There's always Icon stuff in the works. Ideally, I'd like to have like 4 Icons products come out a year if we can manage that. That's usually what I aim for. But it depends on the products and how big they are. And adventures are, adventures are a little easier than some of the source books, but in some ways they're not, because
right.
adventures are actually pretty involved in a lot of ways. And even though they're relatively short, they take a fair amount of work to put together. It's usually trying to balance, sort of source book type material and adventures. And the main focus of Icons has usually been adventures as far as that goes.
Well, that's very cool. My next question, though, is for both of you. Do you guys ever have those characters or concepts while you're working on stuff that get stuck in your brain that, you know, you put into your notebook, but it gets stuck in your brain? And if so, is there anything for Icons right now that's just stuck in your brain that you've got to get out on paper soon?
Well, for me, it's the current thing that I'm kind of working on to see if there's anything to it. We'll see as far as that goes. But yeah, sometimes I get a particular idea for Icons and, or anything I'm working on. And it'll be like, oh, I need to work on this. You know, this particular Icons idea basically ended up taking up a good part of my afternoon yesterday, where I was going to work on something else. My brain was like, no, you're going to work on this. Because if you don't, I'm not going to let you work on anything else. And so sometimes you have to do that just to get the thing out so that you can focus on something else.
Exercise the demons.
Pretty much, yeah. You know? It happens.
Yeah. In fact, last year for Halloween was... The Menace of the Man-O-Lantern.
Yeah, the Menace of the Man-O-Lantern, yeah.
I threw the damn thing and I couldn't stop laughing as I'm drawing. I'm like, this is the greatest, dumbest thing I've ever drawn in my life. Next to Gumdrop was one of my favorite villains I've ever created.
Yep.
He's just a goofy guy who can shoot glue. He's basically Paste Pot Pete.
Yeah, but he is. He's one of the great Mort villains of the Icons.
Oh, I love him. I was like, oh, he's such a lovable loser guy. Yep. And so if you haven't, by the way, bought that module, that's what's that? That's Size Queen's.
Oh, Size Queen's Holiday, Humongous Holiday Heist.
Yes.
Yeah.
That one is great. If you haven't gotten it, you're out of your mind. It's a fantastic.
That is also super fun.
Oh, it's so fun. And then Menace of the Man-O-Lantern, by the way, one of my favorite parts of it is the fact that you get to prevent a future villain from happening.
Yes.
If you so choose, if you decide to play, depending on what your group's like, you may either create a new villain for your team or you'd have a new ally who's like, who isn't necessarily a villain. Right. Man-O-Lantern, Gumdrop.
Like, you know, what if grade school Lex Luthor had gotten some decent guidance and role models?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if he didn't, he would turn into basically MODOK with a robot mom.
Yes.
Yeah, he's Kilroy and Optimum. And that's another, like, sometimes I just have ideas and I draw them and I'm like, this is the greatest, wackiest Silver Age thing I can think of. And it's part Steve and it's part Chris McLaughlin. I go, man, El Bolo has been stuck in my head for years and years and years. And I go, you know, if you can ever just reach that, when I put him on the table and they see the picture of Gumdrop, you go, what? Yes. Come on. But then he's an adversary. He can be dangerous, but he sticks in my head. The Man-O-Lanterns are dangerous. It's a giant monster.
Right.
But it's also a giant jack-o'-lantern. Exactly. Sorry, it tickles me every time. And King Ghost is another. In fact, King Ghost has probably sold almost every copy of Adversaries I've ever sold. I go, I want to show you something cool. I go, and the dad will be at the table, and he'll see it. Oh man, so like Batman? I'm like, exactly, like the '66 Batman, King Ghost. Yep. I was like, because they used to do that in Silver Age, just put a title. And a scary thing or a weird thing.
Right.
Like, King Ghost. Why is he King Ghost? Steve, you figure that out. I'm just going to draw him. He looks like a Scooby-Doo villain. He's a ghost. And then Steve comes up with an amazing story, and I go, there you go, see? Awesome. Yep.
That's pretty much the creative process of Icons. It's the alchemy. Right there.
It's the juice.
It's the magic.
Indeed. Awesome. It's like a Rorschach test. I go, hey, Steve, what do you think of this guy? Oh, well, here's his story. I'm like, absolutely right.
Yeah, what that reveals about either of our psychologies, I'd rather not delve too deeply into.
Well, I grok your vibe for comics, man. I'm on that wavelength. Yeah. So I know what, if you ask me to do something, I'll go, oh, Saguaro, I know what he wants. Boop.
Yep.
Or hey, very
that's very true.
Describe right? Something, I'll go, I almost think I know what you want.
Yeah. No, yeah, go, wait, tell no. Dan, you know, do like a picture for this guy, and it'll be like 10 times better than I would have described it.
Well, Commander Crab from Rogues.
Yes, for example.
You two are very blessed to have that kind of partnership.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of Steve. I like Steve Henson is on my Mount Rushmore of game design and superhero gaming. So it's easy to work for him and with him. So
I feel the same way.
You guys
Mike is too. Absolutely. You can laugh, Mike, but it's true, man.
I'm on your Mount Rushmore. Am I between Steve and Kenneth Height? Where am I exactly?
Kenneth Height would be a statue like right by the restrooms. So I take that back. And honestly, I take that back. The stories I have, the one story I have has changed. The narrative has changed. I met him at Game Holcon, and we talked about that very event. No joke. Yeah. And we worked it out. Crab. We worked out. In fact, he remembered it, and he goes, oh, yeah, man. He goes, I didn't mean it like that. He goes, I meant it like, I understand where you're coming from. Dudes don't have money when they start out. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you don't sound like that. He goes, no, I've been told. And so now, his statue is no longer next to the bathroom. It's right next to the entrance. It's like, you must be this tall, into this part. Moose out front should have told you. That kind of thing.
Well, Dan, since you're an artist, you should draw your Mount Rushmore of superhero gaming.
Right.
And put it up.
Sure. I will find time to do that with my other superpowers.
Yes.
That's not me being sarcastic or mean. I just don't have time. But I will. You know, I'll sketch it.
Put it into a module.
You know what? I'm already doing that for a couple friends of mine. I could do that. I can make it subtle. Like the villains do a Zod. They go, pew, 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 pew.
See?
Yes. Yes, indeed. Oh, no.
Massacre at Game Master Monument.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
That's the title. That's free.
I think I'm... Yes. You're going to get a byline credit. Story by.
Right.
The fact that that's just too good of an idea not to do.
Yay.
April Fool's is not too far away. That's a module. It's done. There's just one page. It's just kind of a joke.
Right.
I will tell you a funny little story.
One page of text will be all set.
At work, they announced a contest. They're giving away these two tickets. I honestly can't use them. I'm sorry, folks at work. I can't use the tickets. But it was a drawing contest. I was like, hey, guys, draw Scooby-Doo. And no cheating. Everyone has to draw it freehand. And using clip art and da-da-da. I'm like, okay.
Of course, if you happen to be a professional artist.
I was like, there are no other rules? Okay, great. I will say I've probably the best Scooby-Doo I've ever drawn. It's Scooby and Shaggy, and it's just them in a network room covered in cords going, Zoink Scoob, we should have called the company that I work for. And I was like, you know, this is just cheating. And I put it on the guy's desk going, you know, you should have barred me from participating. Because if I don't win this, I know you're cheating.
Right.
Like, come on, guys. Please.
Can you guys hear me?
Like, oh, Joseph Hanna and Mr. Barbera here to draw one, too. So, oh, they won. All right.
There's a new Scooby-Doo movie coming.
That's real, but...
We can barely hear you, Mike. You're very, very quiet. But Mike was just saying that there's a new Scooby-Doo movie coming out, I think. I think that's what he was saying. Mm-hmm. I was not aware of that, but I do not follow Scooby-Doo. I don't care.
I wanted to keep track of it when it was like this Twin Peaks kind of cartoon they were talking about doing.
Yeah.
I never saw it. And now I don't know what it's called. So.
Color palette, we're in, Mikey.
There you go.
Mike, you're coming in with a hum, including the feed for that audio.
Is that Blue Falcon?
Yeah, he said Falcon Fury.
Enough of these people. Where's Blue Falcon?
Oh, I hope Dynamite's here too.
I know, right?
I can't breathe. I have to assume that if they were with their friends, they wouldn't have been kidnapped.
Okay, can you skip the emotional punishment?
Must be giant one with Scooby and Shaggy. Mm.
I don't know, but I'd like to shake the hand of whoever created this. And then, you know, throw that hand in prison for trying to kill our friends.
Hey!
This mangy stray's coming with me.
He's not a stray.
Nice stash, bro.
Okay, then. What's his name?
His name's
Hey, Scooby.
Middle name?
Doobie.
Last name?
Doob.
Gentlemen, welcome aboard.
This isn't about some guy in a rubber mask.
I would have gotten away with this if it weren't for you meddling.
This is about one of us.
Was that Daphne in a Wonder Woman costume?
Yeah, okay, I have seen some trailers for this now. I remember.
Where are my balloons, Dee Dee? When I say Falcon Fury, that's supposed to cue the balloons.
Oh, great. Great timing. You might want to buckle up.
Dino Mud! All right, it's worth seeing.
Maybe this can lead us to our culprit.
Jinkies!
Apparently he's been stealing Netflix by using his mother's account.
That is not fair for the rest of us who have to pay for Netflix.
You have to pay for Netflix?
Here we go!
If you want, you can pull over and drop us off here.
We'll walk home.
I guess our new movie is an origin story.
Every hero should have one.
I want The Rock to play me.
Never gonna happen.
Wild.
All right.
Is it a theatrical release or is it gonna be on Netflix or?
I think it's a theatrical release.
Yeah, next month.
So. I will watch it when it comes to a streaming service near me.
All right. The only reason I played that was because of Blue Falcon. So.
Yeah,
Mike,
right?
You have a hummingbird coming through or something. You've got some static and hum.
I'll be back.
I turned on my humidifiers. I have 12 of them.
Mike has a lot of technical issues with his headset. I think we need to get him a new one.
I think Mike needs to quit hanging out with Harry Dresden.
Right.
Yeah, his paradox level is too high.
Yeah,
old school mage, everyone. Speaking of, hey, Steve, how's Aberrant coming along?
Okay. What's that,
Ben? Oh, I said, hey, Steve, how's Aberrant coming along?
Oh, pretty much done as far as my involvement goes. Things are in production with Onyx Path, as I understand it.
I saw little tidbits at GameholeCon this December. They had little advertising, Aeon, the Aeon stuff, or is this called Trinity now? I don't
Trinity
remember.
Trinity Continuum, yep.
Okay.
Aeon
I remember it was called Aeon.
Setting.
Yeah, because the all A's, that's what was like Aeon, Aberrant, Adventure.
Adventure, yep.
That was great, but Warren Ellis really, 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 really phoned in that opening story that was basically that issue of Planetary. I'm like, dude, you threw in one little extra, like, Isle of Dr. Moreau part at the beginning, and the rest of it is literally that adventure, that story from Planetary. I'm like, oh, come on, man. But anyway... I can't wait for it because I liked Aberrant and I loved Adventure. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it, you know, all laid out.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hey, guys, it's top of the hour. I need to get back to my soulless but well-compensating day job.
So. All right.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Before we go, though, let's do a quick shout-out of Get Well Soon, Walt!
Yes, get well soon, Walt!
Yes, get well soon, Walt. Yes, enjoy your new legs.
Enjoy your new cybernetic powers. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Carbon fiber cat foot. That's great. That makes me think of a module.
Aren't comic books great?
Right?
Yes. Yeah. Comic books are awesome.
Well, hey, Jacob Blackman is on YouTube comments. Hey, Jacob, how you doing? He says, hanging with Harry Dresden is always cool. I'm guessing that was something related to the 5 times I had to reboot. So.
Oh, hey, if I could plug my YouTube channel, it's RetroStation 1989. I play old video games, and this year's hindsight is 2020, so I'll be playing this month. I'm going to be reviewing the new TurboGrafx Mini that's coming out. I'll be playing a bunch of TurboGrafx games, so if you think I'm funny here, go over there and listen to me make fart jokes over Star Wars stuff. It's pretty great. I also have a whole rant about Star Wars that will offend you, probably.
You said it was Retro Station what?
Retro Station 1989.
I will put the link in our show notes so anyone can find that. Because Dan is a funny MF-er, so you should definitely check that out.
Oh, well, thank you.
So.
And all the mothers out there, hey.
All right, I'm just going to go out on a high note. Alex, Steve, Alice, Dan, thank you very much for coming out. To all, hey,
nice seeing everybody.
Hey, Jacob, how you doing?
Yep.
And to all of our viewers and listeners out there in YouTube land and iTunes land, thank you very much. We'll catch you next time on the Math Podcast.